Up next, a group of wounded Iraq and Afghanistan veterans learn about fly fishing in Montana.
I came back from combat and found I needed relief. And the more I was out there fly fishing, the more I knew I needed more of it. It became an absolute desperate physical and mental need. And I had to do it or I was going to kill somebody.
That's an excerpt from a new documentary which chronicles the recovery of wounded Iraq and Afghanistan veterans fly fishing in Montana. It's called Not Yet Begun to Fight and is screening this week at the Florida Film Festival. Sabrina Lee is the film's producer and director. She joins me from Bozeman, Montana. I'm also joined by Eric Googe. He's a 23-year-old former Marine who served in Afghanistan. He joins me from Evansville, Indiana. Sabrina Lee, Warriors and Quiet Waters is a nonprofit that brings together wounded soldiers to Montana to learn about fly fishing. How'd you find out about this story and what attracted you to it?
Actually, in the making of my first documentary film, I learned from one of my subjects how his father, who suffered from PTSD or post-traumatic stress disorder as a result of the Vietnam War, had walked out on their family when he was a young boy and he had never returned. And it made me acutely aware in a way that I had not been before of how for all of those who are involved in these conflicts, the war is really never over. And it also occurred to me that despite the fact that hundreds of thousands are coming back from Iraq and Afghanistan, I know little or nothing about them and what their experiences will be going forward. And that kind of troubled me, I guess. I think as a documentary filmmaker, you hope that if something compels you, that it'll also be of interest to other people, to audiences, and that in some way, I guess, becomes the justification for making a film about it. But I felt like despite how much I may read or hear about the conflicts and those returning, I don't really know anything about them. And I wanted to give a face to the war, to the aftermath, and give myself and maybe others something to connect to.
Warriors and Quiet Waters is run by Eric Hastings, who himself is a Vietnam veteran, and he found solace in fly fishing after the war. How did you get in touch with him?
After the seed had been planted, learning about PTSD via my first film, I was with my co-director and we saw a short promotional film about Warriors and Quiet Waters and just thought this seemed like a really wonderful opportunity to explore this subject of the Warriors returning home. And so we reached out to Eric and fortunately he was willing to allow us access to the program so that we could go ahead and make a film about it.
You know, you mentioned that a lot of times the conflict never leaves the soldier or the Marine after they've left the area physically, and that is also true for Eric Hastings. In the film, he's very emotionally affected by the soldiers who are going through that program. What kind of person is he?
Eric is an extremely complex person. He's passionate, he's committed, he's determined. He's also very sensitive. He seems very tuned in with not just his own feelings, but what the feelings are of the veterans. He is somebody who has to be helping in some capacity. And I feel like in many ways, this program that he's pretty much created is really a perfect fit for him because all summer long, he's busy coordinating the program, finding the right candidates, working with the Balboa Naval Hospital in San Diego to bring the Warriors out here. And then through the course of the year, I guess he's terribly busy fundraising so that he can support the program through the summer.
Eric Googe, you were in the Marines in Afghanistan and you were a forward observer there. Talk to me a little bit about what your mission was in Afghanistan.
Well, as you said, I was a forward observer. My battalion was told we were going to deploy around February of 2009 as part of the reinforcements that President Obama wanted to send into Afghanistan. So we deployed May 18th of 2009, and our mission basically was to go into an area that hadn't been secured yet, that the British were having a little bit of trouble with, and try to clamp that down to stop reinforcement insurgent fighters from infiltrating Afghanistan from Pakistan. My personal mission as a forward observer was to deliver indirect fire to infantry squads that I would patrol with. So if we got in some sort of enemy engagement that we weren't able to maneuver or just had too much going on to be able to effectively engage them, then I would call in artillery or mortars.
And so was this your first deployment to Afghanistan?
This was, yes.
And how long were you with the Marines?
Well, all said and done, I've been with the Marines for 5 years. At that time, I hadn't been with them for 2 years yet.
And so what was the mission where you were wounded, and how did that happen?
Well, it actually starts about 3 days prior. We had been taking enemy fire from a specific location in a cornfield at the same time every day, and we had been getting intel that they were trying to lure us out into this cornfield where they had set up an IED. So instead of doing that, we waited till early morning before the sun had rose, and it was real dark out, and we came to this canal crossing and got kind of bunched up, I suppose, and unfortunately, the fellow behind me, he was an Afghan border patrolman, stepped on a 60-pound ammonium nitrate pressure plate IED, and it killed him, killed a interpreter that we had with us, another Marine, and wounded myself and another Marine.
And so when that happened, were you airlifted out, or what was the process that eventually ended to you being connected with the Warriors in Quiet Waters program?
Yes. From there, I was medevaced via Black Hawk helicopter by the Air Force Special Forces pararescue jumpers, and I was medevaced to a field hospital in Afghanistan, from there to Germany, and then from Germany to Bethesda Naval Medical Center, and just right outside of Washington, D.C.
In the film, you wear a patch over one eye, so you lost sight in one eye, and I wonder, how has that been affecting you, and how has your recovery process been going?
Yes, I lost my right eye. It's actually, in my opinion, one of the easier physical limitations to get used to, I guess. I didn't lose an arm or a leg, and I didn't have to get used to that, but every day there's no real rehab that I went through to get used to looking out of one eye. But every day when you wake up and you open your eye, I mean, you're going to get used to it slowly but surely every day.
So how did you come to be attracted to this idea of learning how to fly fish?
Well, I'd always loved fishing. I grew up fishing. And I really, you know, had never really thought about fly fishing. I was just sitting in the hospital one day, and a fella came up and asked me if I'd like to go to Montana and fly fish. And I said, of course, who wouldn't want to go to Montana and fly fish? You know, I had no idea what I was doing, but I think I really took to it, and I really love it now.
Tell me about that experience. What do you think you learned, or what were your initial impressions when you got out to Montana and started to learn how to fly fish?
Well, first off, I mean, Montana's gorgeous. So, I mean, talk about first impressions. I mean, Montana's spot on. And, I mean, it was kind of rough in the beginning getting the hang of it, but I took to it pretty quick. And it was really relaxing. It really was. There's definitely a certain therapeutic value to the slow and, you know, repetitive nature of fly fishing. Most people, or some people, I'd rather say, may find it boring, but certainly not me and the four other fellows that were with us. I think we all really enjoyed it.
You're listening to Intersection on 90.7 WMFE-FM. I'm talking with filmmaker Sabrina Lee, whose film Not Yet Begun to Fight is screening this week at the Florida Film Festival. I'm also speaking with Eric Googe, a veteran of the war in Afghanistan who also appears in the film. I'm Mark Simpson. Sabrina, tell me about some of the other soldiers that appear in the film with Eric.
Well, they are diverse characters for sure. There's a part of me going into this that imagined that these are five men who are relatively the same age, they've had relatively the same experience, and that they would be somewhat monochromatic, and that was not the case at all. But just to give you an idea, there was Marine Captain Blake Smith. He's a helicopter pilot. He narrowly escaped death when his helicopter plunged, I think, 900 feet in the dark of night in Afghanistan. And now he's a paraplegic. He suffers not only from the physical pain and limitations that come with that injury, but also the emotional struggle of losing his masculine identity, I think is what he calls it. And his struggle, for him, it's really further complicated by the fact that he survived, but others died in that crash. And so I think that there's a level of emotional complication that he's dealing with. There's also Staff Sergeant Mark Hupp. His injuries are invisible, so to speak, but in addition to suffering from a traumatic brain injury or TBI, he also has post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD. And now that he's no longer living in a combat zone, he admits a hard time dealing with people. He says that it's at one point hard for him to remember that there's a side to humanity that isn't vile and cruel, because he's seen what one human being can do to another willingly, and it's disgusting. And so that is something that he's struggling with on a daily basis, just trying to reacclimate to society after living in a combat zone. He was a bomb technician, which is a pretty intense job, as you can imagine.
That's one of the interesting things I thought about this film, is that you have soldiers who have been trained in combat, but then you have this fly fishing program where it's a catch and release, and there's a connection with the living fish there, and you know, it ends with the release of the fish. And I wonder, what did you see as maybe the duality in that relationship between soldiers who've been trained to kill in many ways?
Yeah, I feel like fly fishing is just brings a beautiful metaphor to the film. The fact that these guys were in fact trained to kill, living in a combat zone, and now they are given the opportunity to hold a live creature in their hands and gently place it back into the water and help it survive. That's got to be, on some level, one would hope, a somewhat restorative experience. The colonel says early on in the film that fly fishing is a series of opportunities for hope. And he said before that he hopes if this program does nothing else, that it restores their optimism, which I think is a really wonderful idea and something to hold on to. And something I enjoyed watching among the vets who are out is, on one of the fishing expeditions, one of the Marines was very eager to get the fish back in the water because he was so concerned that the fish had been out of the water for longer than 15 seconds and he didn't want the fish to suffer as a result of that. And I felt like what a distance he's traveled from, you know, the battlefield in Afghanistan to that peaceful moment on the river, and his compassion for this fish.
Sabrina, talk to me a little bit about this. You touched on this a little bit already, about how in the film you're dealing with soldiers who are coming to grips with the emotional trauma and physical trauma that they've been through, and how that in some ways is contradictory to the image of being a resolute soldier, and you're getting them to open up and talk about injuries in a way which isn't always how the public sees soldiers.
We felt like in order for this film to reach the widest possible audience, that it needed the subjects in the film to speak honestly and candidly about their experience. And although on one level the film is about five veterans returning from combat, in a larger sense, I think it's really about other themes like loss of identity, starting over, and the remarkable resiliency of the human spirit. And so through the course of them sharing their experiences, I think that they each offer something that we can connect to. So whether you've been involved in the military or not, those are themes that they were able to articulate that allow us to connect ourselves to their experience. And I just was very grateful that they were so willing to speak openly about their experience, because I think it's really important for the public to understand what their experience is, so that can inform what their experience is going forward, and we can have a better understanding of what their experience might be once they're back from combat.
Erica, you just recently left the Marine Corps. You've been out for just about almost 2 weeks, and we're actually talking to you on your first day back at work. What's it like being out of the Marine Corps?
Well, I'll tell you what, I just spent 3 hours cutting the grass, so right now it's not too good, but no, I'm really enjoying it. It's definitely relaxing. I mean, I'll always love the Marine Corps. I really enjoy my time, and I definitely don't regret a thing about it. But it's nice to kind of decompress, so to speak, relax.
And so tell us what you're doing right now.
Right now I just, you know, I have a part-time job with a pool insulation company. I work in the warehouse. My plans are to attend college in the spring semester of 2013 here at the University of Southern Indiana. My hopes are to get a degree in criminal justice if the police department, the local police department, can accommodate my disabilities. That's something I really think I'd enjoy.
Well, Eric Hooch, it's been really a pleasure speaking with you, and thanks for sharing your story with us.
Thank you, Mark.
Sabrina Lee's film is Not Yet Begun to Fight. It's screening at the Florida Film Festival this week. Sabrina, thanks for talking with us about the project.
It's been a pleasure. Thanks, Mark.
You can find out more about the film by visiting WMFE.org/intersection. There you can also sign up for our weekly podcast and find out what's happening in Florida online at the Florida Talks blog. Support for Intersection comes from our listeners. Amy Green is assistant producer. I'm Mark Simpson, and thanks for listening.